Well, today is Father's Day, and like Mother's Day, Father's Day is a special day. It's a day we can set aside to especially thank God for our fathers. I thank the Lord for my dad. What a godly example he truly was. We appreciate, I say this from my heart, I appreciate the sacrifices my dad made for me. And I'm sure those of you seated before me can say the same about your dad. You know, our dads aren't perfect. Who is perfect? But we can thank the Lord for the dad that God gave to us. He's a special man when he's your dad. I read of a daughter who gave her father $100 and said, buy yourself something that will make your life easier. So he went out and bought a gift for my mom. It has also been said a father is someone who carries pictures in his wallet where money used to be. One more. You know, when children come, our cars change. You know, before it was this sports car or this whatever. But once we get children, the car seats come. And they don't always fit well in a Mustang convertible. Amen? So you buy the minivan or the SUV to haul around the children with their car seats. And these children are a divine gift. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They are special. Beside dads, your wife, God could not give you anything more precious and valuable than your children. I mean, that's his gift of love to you. But when God gives you children, there are certain responsibilities. There's a certain stewardship that comes with rearing these children, helping them get to adulthood, helping them to become productive, godly individuals who can then raise the next generation for Christ. So it's really a high and holy calling. And this calling, of course, requires that we as fathers teach and train our sons and daughters, not only by precept, but by example. Not always children remember what their dad maybe has said, but they remember who he was, who he is. And the resource book, the best How to Effectively Raise the Children manual, is, of course, the Bible. And in particular, in the Holy Scriptures, we find the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs. And who wrote the majority of the book of Proverbs? Well, it was Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man, I believe, who ever lived. What he has given to us certainly has been divinely inspired. So when Solomon speaks through these proverbs, I think we should give heed to what is being said. What is a proverb? Well, it's a wise principle stated in concise and understandable terms. And in the book of Proverbs, we find divine wisdom, lessons. We find how to live rightly, which fathers we need to pass on to our children. So in today's message, I want us to focus on 10 crucial life lessons a faithful father must teach his children. And when I talk about teaching our children, I'm not just saying every day we sit down and say, Junior, it's time for your life lesson. In the book of Proverbs, you see that we are to, that the fathers were to teach their children diligently throughout the day, whether they were sitting down, whether they were rising up, whether they were moving forward, whether they were sitting still. There was always that time, those teachable moments that fathers were and are to teach their children. An example of that, of course, is Abraham and Isaac. As they walked up Mount Moriah to offer a sacrifice, Isaac asked his father, he said, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And what did Abraham say? God will provide himself a lamb. And so again, what a teachable moment and what a great truth that Abraham passed on to her son and in the activity of their day. Well, life lesson number one, fathers, is we need to teach our children to fear God. To fear God. In Proverbs 1:7, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 9:10 states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The point here is everything instructive starts with the fear of God. And so, fathers, we must teach our children to fear God. Now, what does it mean to fear God? Well, on the one hand, we teach our children the bigness and the greatness and the awesomeness of God, that He is omniscient, all-wise, that He is omnipotent, all-powerful, that He is omnipresent, He is present everywhere, that He is immutable, that He is unchangeable, that He is holy, that He is loving, and thus He is just and kind and gracious and merciful, and that He sovereignly rules the universe. He is in charge. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to hitch your wagon, young people, sons and daughters, you want to hitch your wagon to the one who is in charge, because He will get you where you need to be. He is the one who rules. And the reason to impart this theological knowledge is to create a reverential respect and awe, in other words, a fear of God, that God deserves and desires our worship, our praise, our reverential respect. But then on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, called fearing God, we teach our children to fear God's displeasure, to fear God's discipline, His right to correct us. We read, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Why do we need chastening? Why do we need correction? Because like sheep, we go astray. And God, through His loving shepherd, the Lord Jesus, brings us back into the fold. Aren't you glad He brings us back? He seeks us and finds us. I think of the message of Hebrews 12, verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Honestly, when God is feared, sin is needfully forsaken. We fear God's correction. We fear God's removal of His blessings, one of which is a long life. Proverbs 10:27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." I want my children to live a long and prosperous and full life. So what do? I teach them to fear God. And so because as fathers, we want our children to reverence and to obey God, we teach them to fear God. And might they see that we as fathers fear God. Lesson number two. Fathers, we need to teach our children to guard their thoughts, to safeguard what they think, what their minds dwell on. I think of the command found in Proverbs 3:3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them on the table of thine heart." Fathers, we are to teach our children to think on whatsoever things are true and honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. The reason the governing of the mind is so crucial is out of it come the issues of life. Out of our hearts, out of our minds. And when I use the word heart, I'm referring to mind. But out of our hearts flow the springs of life. Everything in life has its conception in the mind, in the heart. Our conduct, our words follow what we first think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when mercy and truth grace the hearts, the minds of our children, when God's commandments are then obeyed, then good things follow. Proverbs 3:4 promises, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 3:2 tells us, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 4:4 states that they shall live. Fathers, we teach our children that a pure mind leads to life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And God is the author of life. You want your children to walk through life seeing God. The pure see God. The third life lesson we as fathers must teach our children is to obey. And the earlier the better. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 2:1 speaks of receiving the word of thy father. Chapter 4, verse 11, Solomon talks about hearing and receiving a father's sayings. The point is, children who learn to obey their parents, children who learn to submit to parental authority, will submit to and obey societal authority. And ultimately, God's authority. You find a son or a daughter that's resisting the authority of their father, their mother, they will be resisting the authority of God. They will be resisting authority at school. They are the ones who will be going to the principal's office. You get a child to understand how important it is to obey his parents at home, and once they get out of the house, they will obey the authority that's placed over them. And of course, when children obey, again, there are blessings. You know, there are always blessings when you do right, when you have a pure mind. You are blessed. When you fear God, you are blessed. When you obey, you are blessed. You're familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. How vitally important that children are taught to obey and to obey right away. Life lesson number 4. Fathers, we must teach our children to be selective regarding their friends. For friends influence either for good or for evil. Recall what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, but be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, which simply means bad company corrupts good morals. Our children become like their friends. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. Birds of a feather do what? They flock together. They fly together. And so as fathers, we say to our children, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 11, if they say, come, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow up them alive as at the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. The whole appeal here is for fathers to teach their children how to be delivered from the ways of the evil man, how to escape from those who have left the paths of righteousness. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 18 where we read, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And really, that can be translated, will come to ruin. In other words, and the verse ends, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But the meaning here can be, it is better to have a few friends, a few of the right kind of friends, than a lot of the wrong kind of friends. And further, as fathers, we are responsible, if we can take it another step, to teach our children what to look for in a spouse, to marry in the Lord, to marry a believer who's walking with the Lord. And God has given us His Word. God has given us wisdom through His Word to know who is the right kind of person to marry. After accepting Christ as one's Savior, the next most important decision that a son or daughter can make is who they marry. You want to marry in the Lord. Marriage sets the course of your life for the rest of your life. So how important it is, dads, that we give instruction, helpful instruction to our children as they reach that marriageable age. And that we pray, if you have young children, pray even now for God's will for them to marry the one that God has for them. Well, life lesson number 5, we must teach our children to control their bodies, to say no to the lust of the flesh. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Fathers, we are to teach our children sexual self-control, that their lives are at stake if they do not control this drive that they have. As we just read, the strange woman's house sinks into death. Her ways are the paths of death. The only safe sex is sex between a husband and his wife. And then chapter 5 continues in the same vein. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that have instructed me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to instruct you. Young people, I am trying to instruct you. Your parents, your dad, they are trying to instruct you. And chapter 6 follows, and well, because of time, we won't read, but I found it very telling that Solomon spends so much time in the book of Proverbs. I mean, we're talking about, you know, chapters in the book of Proverbs to keep young people from going down this road of death. I mean, we see his instruction in chapter 6, we see it in chapter 7 and 9. But then he tells us, fathers, teach your son the beauty and the wonder and the blessedness of the gift that your wife is to you. Teach your son the joy, the freedom, the beauty of sexuality in the marriage relationship. And we teach our sons best when we love and enjoy and are faithful to the wife that God has given to us. Proverbs 5, verse 15 says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. You know, marriage is such a beautiful thing, and the bed is undefiled in the marriage relationship. And I would admonish you young people to keep yourselves for that divine time in your life. It is worth it. Life lesson number 6. Fathers, we are to teach our children to guard their tongue, to watch carefully what they say, and not only what they say, but how they say it. Proverbs 4:24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. There are 42 references in the book of Proverbs that give instruction regarding our lips, what we are to say. Notice chapter 10, just for an example. Chapter 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, there is sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The same chapter, verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. The point here is we are to teach our children that the wise speak the truth. They do not lie. We live in a society where people lie to their mom. You teach your children never to lie. Even if it gets you into trouble, don't lie. You speak the truth, and then you do so in love. You teach your children that the wise utter few words. The wise speak words that edify, that build up. But the fool pours out foolish, hateful, ruinous, slanderous, mischievous, gossip-filled speech. You know, people remember what you say to them. So the point is, say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then if you have said something and you know it's wrong, maybe, Dad, you've said something to your son or daughter. Maybe you've said something to their mother. Be man enough to say, you know, I'm sorry. I was wrong. That wasn't necessary. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. You know what? Your children will remember that their dad had a big enough heart, a loving heart, to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. So let's teach our children to think before they speak. You know, better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. We need to teach our children the work ethic, that work is a divine thing. Work is a good thing. It's good to sweat. God created us to work. And the ant is a great model to follow. Think of the words of Proverbs chapter 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. One of the major lessons here is we teach our children to work and to work hard, whether the boss is around or not. Remember, the ant has no guide or overseer or ruler, and yet it works to provide what is needful. And the result, working honestly and diligently, is rightly rewarded. Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent or skilled in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean or obscure men. If you want to be promoted, you work hard now. You give your best now. Let's teach our children to pursue life with industrious hands. Lesson number 8, a father teaches his children to manage well his money, their money. We find this monetary wisdom in Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We are to teach our children to be bountiful, large, liberal givers. We teach our children to be givers in life, to serve others with our time, our talent, our treasure. Teach our children to give generously first to the Lord. We honor the Lord. How do we honor the Lord? By giving to the Lord. We teach our children to give generously to others. You teach your children to avoid co-signing, which broadly means don't invest one's money in get-rich-quick schemes, which would include the lottery, which would include gambling. Christians should never play the lottery. If you have money to play the lottery, give it to the Lord. You know you're going to win if you give it to the Lord. You know you're going to lose when you play the lottery. Tell yourself, I'm losing this. I might as well just flush this money down the toilet. That's what you're doing. And let me say, don't give your money to the name and claim it preachers. You don't need to help them buy their $50 million jet. I say, let's teach your children to be good stewards of their money because they then will be blessed. Life lesson number 9, fathers, let's teach your children to love others, to love their neighbor. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. We could say more, but the bottom line is we teach our children to learn to love people, which means to live in peace with people, to forgive people, to not hold grudges. Don't hold grudges. Teach your children the grace of forgetting. You know, especially in families, when a family member holds a grudge, it messes up the whole family. It destroys relationships. You feel just kind of on eggshells when that person is around. What a sad thing when we've been forgiven and we then won't forgive. What an awful, miserable way to live. when you go through life holding one grudge after another? The burdens of life are great in and of themselves. Why put extra burdens on your shoulders? Because you're holding a grudge and you will not forgive. How sad. Let me say, you're a sad person when you won't forgive. Christ has forgiven you. Why can't you forgive? I mean, what did you do to Christ? You crucified him, and God has forgiven you for that. And then you won't forgive for this little minor infraction. Love others. And then love others to Jesus. Love others to him. And then one more. We need to teach our children that it's worth following Jesus. If you want to live life, follow Jesus. He is our salvation. He died that we might have life to live. He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our joy. He is the joy of living. He is our rest. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is our soul's desire. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. His meat and drink is always satisfy. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Teach your children to follow Jesus. And so, fathers, this is what we need to do. This is the instruction we need to pass on. This is what we need to teach the next generation, how to rightly live, to teach our children to fear God, to teach our children to guard their minds, to teach our children to obey their God-given authority, to teach our children to select godly friends, teach our children the need to remember their bodies belong to the Lord, so glorify God in their body and their spirit, which are God's. Teach our children that appropriate words bring life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Teach our children the worth of work, that God created us to work. Teach our children to be good stewards of what God gives to them, to be givers. Teach our children to love deeply, to love God and to love their neighbor. And finally, to teach our children to follow Jesus. Fathers, let's do what we can. You know, we can't make our children do right. We can't make our children turn out right. In fact, it's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace. And honestly, if we did all of these things perfectly, it still is God's grace. But let's do our part. That's what I'm saying. Let's be faithful, dads, to do our part. To do what we can to be instruments of God's grace to bring about godly seed in the next generation. Do our part, and then we say, Lord, I give my children to you. Let's be encouraged. We have God's word, and we have God's spirit who are working in our children's hearts. So let's not give up. God is with us. He will help us to make Father's Day a happy day.